Be reading from chapter 1, verses 1 to 15. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours in the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, that through those you may escape from the corruption that is in the world because of passion and become partakers of the divine nature. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these things are yours and abound, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these things is blind and short-sighted, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be the more zealous to confirm your call and election, for if you do this, you will never fall. So there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these things, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to arouse you by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. And I will see to it that after my departure, you may be able to, at any time, recall these things. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Before retiring to Lexington a few years ago, Candy and I lived in Danville. And that meant we kept that road between Lexington and Danville pretty hot. And there was a sign on Route 27 that had a clock painted on it. And those hands were near midnight. And the sign said, "Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready?" You know, I've heard that message all my life. And I can't say I take signs like that very seriously. Because we've been hearing that all our lives. And Jesus hasn't come in the way that perhaps we anticipated or expecting. And indeed, Jesus said that no one knows the hour or the day that I will come. But He does tell us that we should be ready every day to meet Jesus. Now, the early church expected Jesus to return within that generation. They thought Jesus would come back before the disciples had died. Every disciple expected to see Jesus back. And so when Jesus didn't return, the church had to try to make sense of what did that mean? Why isn't He here? Why hasn't He established His kingdom on earth as He promised? Well, different theories arose, and one was known as the antinomian theory. And the antinomians said that since Jesus hasn't returned and judgment day hasn't occurred, therefore there must not be a judgment day. Therefore, it doesn't matter what we do. Because the love of God forgives all of our sins. And therefore, we can do whatever we want to do. It was a very popular theory with some folks. But it did create lots of problems. This second letter of Peter is a response to the churches struggling with this issue, and particularly the antinomian heresy that sin didn't matter because Jesus was going to forgive you anyway. This letter, as you heard, appears to be to have written when Peter was old and perhaps near death. And it's his last words to the church, his last opportunity to guide the church. And I guess that's what appealed to me when I came upon this passage. I said, oh, that's his last words. Maybe that'd be appropriate for a passage for my last sermon with Providence Christian Church. Not that we have any antimonians around here that I know of. But he begins this letter. May grace and peace be yours in abundance in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He begins with the word of grace. May grace be yours in abundance. And he begins with the word of grace because grace is at the very center of the Christian church. It is the message that Jesus brought, that Jesus lived, that Jesus died for. May the grace be yours in abundance. And so Peter was saying, and I say as well, keep your eyes focused on the gift of grace in your life. Grace is that unearned, unmerited forgiveness and love of God. We don't deserve it. We're not worthy of it. But God has given it to us, grace. And we are saved by grace. Remember that story Jesus told about that young man who was ready to go out and sow his wild oats? And so he asked his father for his inheritance. Now you imagine asking your father for your inheritance while he's still alive? Probably doesn't go over too well for most folks. But that's what he did. And he took the money that his father gave him and he went to a pagan country. And there he lived like a playboy, enjoying gambling and booze and women and partying. He had a great time until the money ran out. Until the friends deserted him. And when he realized just how desperate he was, that there was nowhere to turn, he decided to go home. And as he traveled home, he rehearsed in his mind what he was going to say to his father. Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to you be your son. But if you could find in the bottom of your heart a little grace that I could just be one of your servants. And as he approached his home, his father saw him coming down the road and his father ran to him. And before he even had a chance to make his apology, his father wrapped him up in a bear hug. And I'm sure tears were flowing from his eyes. And he said to his servant, "Bring the royal robe and put it on him. Put the signet ring on him. Put shoes on his feet. And we're going to throw a party so that everyone can celebrate with us the joy that my son has returned home." Now Jesus told that story for us to understand the very nature of God. That God was like that father who, despite all the wrong his son had done, welcomed his son home, forgave him, and restored him to the place of sonship, part of the family. That's what God is like. That's the God we can count on. We can go home to. We can ask forgiveness for him. That's the God who loves us. But you know, in our life experience, it probably seems just too good to be true. Because in relationships with people, in most all situations, we've got to earn love from others. We've got to earn respect. We've got to be seen as worthy to be a part of the group. But God is not like that. God's grace and love is a free gift to us that we receive through faith, through acceptance, through believing in that love. Paul wrote in Ephesians 2, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and this is not your doing. It is the gift of God, not because of your works, not because of your efforts at being good. It's a free gift God gives." Our salvation through faith in God's grace is the beginning of our faith journey, but it's not the end. Paul tells us that our faith must be supported by virtues. And he gives us this list of virtues that should be exercised by Christians. He wrote, "Support your faith with goodness, and goodness with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with godliness, and godliness with mutual affection, and mutual affection with love." The virtues that he identified are the characteristics of those who have received the grace of God and have allowed that grace to work on their hearts, to reshape their minds, to change them to be more like Jesus Christ. We are called to practice these virtues not in order to be loved and saved by God, but because we have already been recipients of God's grace, and it has changed us. Virtues are a response to God's grace in our lives. Peter said that we must make every effort. William Barclay translates it to energize ourselves to practice these virtues. Do you remember the story years ago of Eugene Lang, an African-American millionaire who had been the speaker at his old East Harlem elementary school? And as he spoke to the 121 students that day who were graduating, He made an amazing promise. He said, I will pay for your college education. There probably were few kids there who even anticipated, even dreamed that they might go to college. And now he's promising all of them the funds to go to college. Indeed, the high school where they went would be going, only about 26% even graduated from high school. But this class that Mr. Lang had promised a college education, this class, 90% graduated from high school. And of those students, 50% went to college and graduated. Now, Lang had given them this gift, money for a college education. But they had to cooperate with that gift. It wasn't enough that they were promised the money. They had to study. They had to be suitable, eligible to go to college. And so it took their effort in cooperation with that graceful, generous gift from Eugene Lang for them to get that college education. Likewise, salvation is God's gift to us through Christ. But if we don't live ethically and morally with the knowledge of Christ's grace, with self-control and godliness and mutual affection and love and all of these virtues that Peter talks about, then if we don't live with those things, we squander that gift that God has offered to us of salvation through faith in Him. So make every effort to grow in these virtues. And we must keep our eyes, Peter says, on the eternal. Our eternal destiny is determined by our total acceptance of God's salvation through faith in Christ, together with a virtuous life. Those two things must be together. Peter said, "For in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be richly provided for you." That's not a new promise. You know that promise. You memorized that promise in Sunday school as a child. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Because we want to spend eternity with God in the glory of His presence, we must live in the present with eternity in mind. Peter tells us, don't be short-sighted. You can be blind to what is really important in life because you're just thinking of the immediate. You're just thinking of the pleasure at the moment. You're just thinking about the reward you get right now with this action. Don't be short-sighted, he says. We must act with eternity in mind. Because if we don't, if we just act short-sighted, if we just act according to how we feel or what we desire, we end up alienating ourselves and from other people and alienating ourselves from God. Though salvation is a gift of God by faith, we are still accountable to God for what we have done with that grace we've been given, for what we've done with the opportunities that we have in life. the antinomians, they were wrong. We will face a day of accountability for how we have lived our lives. And Jesus said on that day of judgment, the king will say to those at his right, come you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked, you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. And then the righteous will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you naked? When would we see you prison? We don't remember seeing you ever. And the Lord replies, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. We are responsible to God for the grace we've been given and for what we have done with the opportunities that we have had to serve human beings and to serve God. So let us live with eternity in mind, knowing that when we care for that elderly parent, when we reach out to that person who's lost her job, when we give a call to someone who's living alone at home, who may be lonely, when we bring that food to church to help our neighbors in our community, when we listen to a friend who is grieving, or we speak up for someone who's being discriminated against and oppressed, when we do all these things to those people, we are doing them to Jesus our Lord. And as a result, we've lived a life that has been a blessing to others. And we can live, and we can enter into that eternal kingdom Peter talked about. The kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who one day will say to us, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.